Go to the Word right now, though, Luke 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. There's one verse, the second shortest verse in the Bible. You know what the shortest verse is? Jesus wept. The second shortest verse in the Bible is right here. Remember Lot's wife. Three little words. Remember Lot's wife. Now again, this is a statement that Jesus made, and we're going to read it in fuller context in a moment. But how does Jesus want us to remember Lot's wife? Well, somebody said she sure made a great cherry pie. Well, I don't know if she did or not, but no, we need to remember what Lot's wife did, and we need to remember what happened to her, right? So Jesus told us, I mean, Lot's wife is not the most significant character in the Old Testament, yet Jesus mentions her and says, remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Well, and so we're supposed to do that. In fact, Paul writes, and he expands that out a little bit, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, he's talking about what happened to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. He said, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. And this is why Jesus wants us to remember Lot's wife. Because what was written down in the book of Genesis about Lot's wife was written down as an example for us and was written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. And folks, we are living at the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Indeed. So let's see what happened. Let's go back and look at and see what happened to Lot's wife and maybe examine and see if we can discover why it happened and therefore keep it from happening to us, okay? So remember that the Lord sent two angels. They appeared as men to Abraham, and Abraham fed them a meal. And then there were three men. Three appeared as men. One was the Lord, and two were angels. And the two angels went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and their assignment was to bring judgment and destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah because of the grievous sin there. And so they come to the home of Lot in order to warn Lot and his family so they could be delivered. And so they spend the night. And so then the next morning in Genesis 19:15, it says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So they were just, you know, messing around, lingering around, and finally the angels had to say, come on and grab them by the hand and lead them out of the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. And I notice this, do not look behind you. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. So, again, what do the angels warn them specifically not to do? Don't look behind you. Don't look behind you. Amen. And then we skip down to verse 23. It says, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. So they get to the city where they're far enough away from Sodom, where they're safe. And then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But somewhere on the way between Sodom and Zoar, something happened. And we see it in verse 26. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. They're leaving, they're fleeing the Sodom and Gomorrah. They're leaving the city. And so somewhere along the way between when the time they left and the time they got to the city that they could be to for safety, Lot's wife looks back at Sodom and she became a pillar of salt. You know, so what is Jesus telling us here when he says, remember Lot's wife? Well, number one, or the immediate or the most obvious context of what Jesus meant when he says, remember Lot's wife, is this. It's the importance of following God's instructions. The angel delivering God's instructions says, don't look back, right? Don't look back. So it's important to do what God says to do, amen? And then also the urgency of heeding a divine warning. This was a divine warning that was given to them so they could be delivered, so they could be spared judgment. How many of you know judgment is coming on this earth again? But thank God we don't have to be judged. We can be delivered from judgment if we'll follow God's instruction, if we'll heed God's warning. Amen? So let's go back now, back to Luke 17, and let's look at the context in which Jesus said this. So I want to go all the way back to verse 26, because in this entire passage, Jesus is talking about the last days. He says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What's happening? Life is going on as normal. God has spoken to Noah. God has revealed to Noah what's going to happen. Noah's building the ark. The people see the ark being built. They're making fun of Noah. They're mocking him. But Noah keeps building the ark. They're going on life, you know, like nothing's happening. And there are no outward signs that anything's going to happen. Because they're going on, they're eating, they're drinking, they're going on about daily life and everything that goes along with life. They're going, and then suddenly, while they're going about all that, Noah's getting in the ark, God's shutting the door, and then the flood comes. All right? Verse 28, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So Jesus said, when I come back, it's going to be like this. So in other words, God's going to give warning to His people. God's going to provide a way of escape for those who will believe on Him and trust in Him. And He's provided that way of escape for us in Jesus. Yes, amen. Amen. If we put our faith in Him and follow Him and walk with Him. Amen. And so in verse 31, in that day, talking about when He returns, in that day, He is, now again, we have to rightly divide Scripture here. So part of what He's talking about here as well is stuff that's happening during the tribulation period. And I believe the church will be gone at that time. But in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. In other words, if you're on the housetop, don't even take time to go down and get your stuff out of the house. Just go, all right? So again, I think this is talking about some things happening during the tribulation period. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. And then he says this right out on the heels of that. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. All right? So Lot's wife knew that judgment was coming. She had been warned, hadn't she? She'd heard the divine warning from the angels, and that even taken her and her family by the hand, you know, and brought them out of the city. But again, somewhere along the road, as they're escaping, she looks back. Why does she? Why does she look back? Well, again, Jesus wants us to remember Lot's wife, again, in the context of living in the last days and being ready, being prepared for the coming of the Lord. But also, I think the Lord wants us to understand there's some things in our lives that we should never look back at. And if we do, it's going to hinder and prevent our forward progress. If we look back, we can never progress forward to the place that God wants us to get to in our lives. Amen. It was God's will that Lot's wife escaped to safety, to a place of safety. But because she looked back, she never got there, did she? Amen. Her forward progress was stopped quite literally. And permanently, wasn't it? So why did she look back? Why did she look back? Well, I think number one, And again, let's see how this applies in our lives today. I believe, number one, she looked back because her heart was still attached to some of the things of Sodom. Her heart was still, he says, again, look at what he says. Remember Lot's wife. And then in the heels of that, he says, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. And then look at what he says. This is the Matthew also records this. This statement that Jesus makes, and this is in the Amplified Bible. If we have that one, Mike, there we go. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose it eternal life. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find it everlasting life. You know, I think Lot's wife was probably thinking about all the stuff that she was leaving behind in Sodom. As she's leaving, she thought, we didn't have time to get anything. My furniture, you know, my clothes, all I've got is this little bag that I'm taking. Everything that we had in Sodom, she's probably thinking about her life back there. She's probably thinking about her friends. She's probably, you know, even with the rampant evil that was going on in Sodom, it still was a desirable place for Lot and his family to live. Because remember, before they went there, you know, they were living with Abraham. Lot and his uncle Abraham were living together, and their possessions got so great, their livestock, that Abraham said, "You know, the land can't support it." That's a good bit of prosperity, isn't it? And so Abraham said, you know, Lot, you choose where you want to go. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right, and vice versa. So Lot and his family, they chose to live in Sodom. So there were benefits. It was a nice place to live from a natural standpoint. And I'm sure she's thinking about all of that. I'm sure she's thinking about all that she's having to leave behind in leaving Sodom there. She's thinking about all the natural benefits there. So look at what the Scripture says here in 1 John 2, verse 15. This is out of the Message Bible. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. If we get so, yeah, we have to live in this world. God wants us to prosper. God wants to bless us. We have to have stuff to live in this world. But Jesus said, don't love it. Don't let it consume you. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. So again, Jesus warns us, remember Lot's wife. So let's ask ourselves this morning, are our hearts so attached to the world's ways and the world's goods and our personal comfort and security? You know, it's something to think about, isn't it? Are we too attached that we would be drawn to look back when God is calling us to go forward? God's got things He wants us to do, and we're like, oh, yeah, but I'll have to give this up. Or, oh, well, I might not be able to have that. Or I might not be able to keep this. Well, one thing I know about God is whatever you sacrifice for Him, He always blesses you greater. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But we have to be willing to let it go. I mean, it wasn't God's will that Lot and his family be destitute and live in a cave the rest of their lives. God could have restored all of that. Amen. But they had to be willing to forsake it and to let it go. And we've got to make sure that our hearts aren't so attached to our personal comfort. You know, well, you know, and you know, be quite honest, the older you get, the harder that is sometimes. You get used to your life. When you're young, you know, when you're 20, 25 years old, you're like, hey, let's go, you know, let's go to Africa, you know, let's, but you get older, you get established, you get things established. And I'm not saying God's, calling, you know, everybody or even any of us in here necessarily to sell all your stuff and move to Africa. But we should be willing to. Whatever he's calling us to do. It may be something as simple as giving up your favorite TV show on a certain night so you can pray. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me you're willing to go to Africa if you're not willing to do that. As Brother Hagin used to say, now I've left off preaching and gone to meddling. All right. Amen. So let's don't look back. She looked back, oh, what I could have had in Sodom. You know, just don't look back at your life, especially not your life before you got saved. Oh, well, you know, it was good back then. And that's maybe another reason why she looked back. Perhaps the road of escape seemed too difficult for her to travel on. And that may be the case, a challenge that we face as well. The road of escape might seem too difficult to travel on. It can happen to any of us in our walk of faith. We encounter tests and trials and difficulties, don't we? Amen. You know, the Bible says those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The devil's going to come against you. Amen. All right. And you know, the devil comes along and tells us, you know, it'd be better off. Things are better off with you. You know, your life was easier before you started serving Jesus, before you started serving God. The devil comes and lies to all of us like that. Now, but just remember Lot's wife, Jesus said. Remember why you got on this path of living for Jesus to begin with. Anybody remember that? It's because the path you were on was leading to destruction. Amen? All right. Just like Sodom. See, this happened, this situation happened to the children of Israel. You know, when they came out of Egypt, and again, that's why Paul said these things were written down as examples for us, to warn us, all right? So they'd been delivered out of slavery in Egypt, and God says, I'm giving you a land flowing with milk and honey. And they said, let's go. So they were delivered out of Egypt supernaturally, and just a few steps on the other side of the Red Sea, they started complaining, didn't they? They said, well, wait a minute. We forgot to pack a lunch. What are we going to eat? God said, I'll take care of that. I'll give you manna to eat. And every day, supernaturally, he provided manna for them. But then something happened with that, though. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. That's your flesh, all right? So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish. What are they doing? They're looking back to Egypt. We remember the fish. So they're eating manna. And so they got bored with it. They got bored with this supernatural food that God was providing. We remember the fish, which we ate freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Can you imagine their breath? Fish, onions, and garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Ugh. They got God's providing supernaturally. And they get bored with it. And what are they doing? They're looking back. Oh, we had fish, we had cucumbers, we had onions, we had garlic. But they forgot one thing. They were in cruel bondage. They were getting beaten. They were under hard labor and hard bondage. They were slaves. They forgot all of that. And the devil will tell you, remember, look at what all you're missing out. Look at what your neighbors are doing. They're at the lake today. You could be there. Here you are stuck in church. Here you are serving God. Yeah, what good has that gotten you? What good has that done for you? And you forget the bondage that you were in because the devil just wants you to look at, oh, you remember all this good stuff that you had. Amen? See, we all have flesh that wants to pull us back. Amen? And that's why Jesus said, no, remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. You know, the 10 spies, they make progress through the wilderness and they come up upon the land of Canaan, which God promises them. And Moses sends in the 12 spies. Remember that? Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. Let's take the land. God's already spoken. God's promised it. And if God said it and God promised it, it's ours. And the 10 spies says, wait a minute. Did you not see the giants there? Did you not see all the obstacles there? We can't go and take the land. Chapter 14, verse 2 says, all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. They still had a slave mentality. And with it, I think it's fitting here to mention this, it being the weekend of celebrating our Independence Day. You know, you think about our founding fathers, and you think of the spirit that they had to have to do what they did and to declare, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to sign this. They were signing, as some have said, they were signing their death warrant when they signed that Declaration of Independence. But what did they value? They valued freedom above being able to, and a lot of them were, you know, they were wealthy, they were well-to-do, they were giving up, they were sacrificing so much. But freedom, living as a free individual and living as a free nation, was more important to them. Amen. And our freedom, not only as Americans, which we ought to value, because again, that's something that, you know, as you go through the succeeding generations and it's been handed to you, and without you having to stand for it and fight for it, you can get complacent. Well, okay, well, if the government wants to take this over, as long as they give me a check back, that'll be okay. We ought to have that same spirit of freedom. And we certainly ought to have it spiritually. We certainly ought to have it when, you know, when we're faced with a situation where we might have to give up some comfort, where we might have to stand, and where we might have to deny our flesh and say, yeah, I may have had that back there, but I've got so much more in Christ. I want to live free in Christ. I don't want to go back to bondage. They said, let's go back to Egypt. If we'd only died in the land of Egypt, or if we'd only died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Let's go back into bondage. Let's go back into bondage. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't go back. See, God not only brought them out of Egypt, but His plan was to bring them in to the promised land. God's not only brought you and me out of sin and out from under Satan's kingdom, He wants to bring each of us into the promised land. Now, the promised land's not heaven. There won't be any giants to drive out to get to heaven. There were giants to drive out to get the promise. The promised land represents our victory in Christ. The promised land represents our abundant life here that God wants each one of us to live. Amen. You may have to drive some giants out. You may have to say, no, you don't, devil. This belongs to me now. Jesus gave this to me. No, you're not having my health. No, you're not having my children. No, you're not having my family. This belongs to me now. I'm going to inherit this in Christ. You get your hands off of it. You may have to fight some battles. Amen. But it's worth it. That generation of the children of Israel that complained and said, let's go back to Egypt, they didn't enter the promised land. They died in the wilderness. Jesus doesn't want you dying in the wilderness. Well, they got saved, but they just, you know, floundered and didn't ever walk in the blessings of God, didn't ever walk in victory. No, He wants you and me to live in the promised land. Amen. Amen. Not only can we look at Lot's wife, we can look at the Apostle Paul as a good example. And let's look at something he said in Philippians 3. In Philippians 3:13, he said this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. One thing, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Well, that sounds to me like two things. No, it's one thing. Because you can't forget, you can't reach forward unless you forget. You can't reach forward to what's ahead if you're still looking back. Amen. Amen? Amen? So the Apostle Paul, what he's referring to here is his past life in Judaism. His prestige, his position, his accomplishments. Remember, he was a Pharisee. He was high up in the order. And he says, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. In fact, he said this in Philippians 3:7. He said, but what things were gained to me, talking about his former life in Judaism, these things I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. What's he saying here? He's saying this, we cannot look back and rest on past accomplishments. That's another thing that you can't look back on. Amen? You can't look back on your comfort and security of the past. You can't look back on wishing that you were going back into the benefits that you had before you got saved. And we can't look back and rest on past, oh yeah, Pastor, I got saved back then and I did something for God back then. Well, we can't rest on that. Amen. I'm so grateful that I had the privilege to sit under the ministry of both Dad Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen, and also Dr. Lester Sumrall. Both were just wonderful generals in the faith. And both of them set a wonderful example of right until the very last days before they went to heaven, they were still pursuing God. They didn't retire at 65. Now, you know, if you work a secular job and you retire at 65, that's great. But don't stop working for God. Amen. Amen. Keep following Him. Keep serving Him. These men didn't stop. They didn't sit back and just cruise on in and coast in, you know, to heaven. They were on the front lines until the very day they went home to be with Jesus. They were pursuing greater things in God. I remember Brother Sumrall saying when he was in his, I think he was in his late 60s or maybe in his 70s by this time, that he started something called the End Time Joseph Program to feed the hungry. He was in Jerusalem. And he said God spoke to him when he was in Jerusalem late in his life. And he said, this is what I've prepared you for now, for your whole life. Now you can enter in to what I really want you to do. Amen. I believe I've not entered in fully to what God wants me to do. And you should have the same attitude. Amen. That your best days are ahead of you. Amen. We can't look back and rest on past accomplishments and just kind of retire and coast into heaven. Amen. That is, if we're fully going to follow Jesus. If we're going to follow Him completely and fully. Amen? Now, it's not wrong to look back and see what God's done in our lives. Certainly, we should look back. This, you know, David used that to empower him and inspire him to defeat Goliath. He said, the Lord delivered me from the lion, the Lord delivered me from the bear, and this Philistine's going to be like them. So, yes, it's right to look back and see what God has done and rejoice in what God has done, but don't look back and say, oh, well, I've done enough now. I've had a good ride. It's been a good run. Now I'm just going to, you know, relax and do nothing and wait for Jesus to go. No, we have to keep looking forward. That's what Paul was saying. Again, he says in verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But again, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul called it one thing because you can't reach forward to what's ahead unless you forget and let go of what's behind. And that includes past accomplishments, as great as and wonderful as they may be. Give God the glory for that. Thank God for it. Remember what God has done, but let's move forward. Amen. And Reed, come on back up if you would. And then finally, the last point here, we cannot look back with regret and shame over past sins, past failures, and bad decisions. Amen? See, the Apostle Paul, again, as Saul of Tarsus, before he became the Apostle Paul, he had plenty in his past to bog him down with regret and with shame. Remember, he persecuted the church, didn't he? Remember, he consented to the stoning and the death of Stephen. Remember, he had believers in Jesus imprisoned. Remember, he was doing everything he could with all of his power to try to stop the spread of the message of Jesus. He's trying to stop the gospel from being proclaimed. That was his life until Jesus appeared to him as he was on the road to Damascus. But look at what Paul says about that, about his life in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? To save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. In other words, I was the worst one. I was the worst one. Jesus came to save sinners and I'm public enemy number one. I was the worst one. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Hallelujah. So Paul would have had reason, if any of us does, Paul would have had reason to look back in guilt, in regret, and in shame, and just be overwhelmed with that. Overwhelmed with, look at what I did. I persecuted God's people. I had some of them put to death. I tried to stop the gospel from being spread. Look at what a fool I was. Look at how blind I was. And he could have just been so overwhelmed with that that he couldn't go forward. But what if he had not gone forward? What if he had gotten stopped right there? Just in his day, the thousands and thousands of people throughout that known world of the Mediterranean area that he traveled to and preached the gospel, all the thousands that got saved. When he was in, I believe it was Ephesus, when he was in Ephesus, he stayed there for 2 years preaching and teaching in what was known as the school of Tyrannus, not Tyrannosaurus Rex, just Tyrannus. I don't know, Rex might have been his last name. But the school of Tyrannus, and the Bible says because of what he did there, people were going to that school, hearing Paul preach and teach, and then they were going out and spreading the gospel. They said as a result of that, in a 2-year period, all of Asia, now that's not what we call Asia today, but Asia Minor, which is pretty much modern day Turkey, all of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Think about the thousands that were saved because he decided, you know, I'm not going to look back and just be overwhelmed with guilt and shame and regret, but I'm going to look forward. I'm going to look forward. Hallelujah. Yeah, we learn from our mistakes. Yeah, we learn from our past failures, but don't you dare park there. Don't you dare look back to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God does not want you living in shame. He does not want you living in regret. He does not want you living in guilt over your past. You know, some things that happened in our lives, some of the things we did, it was a matter of pure wickedness in our heart. Amen? We were dominated by our flesh. We were motivated by our personal ambition, whatever. Some mistakes, some failures were just done out of ignorance. Has anybody ever said, oh, if I only knew then what I know now? We've all said that, haven't we? Yeah. Well, again, we can learn from our past, but don't let the devil keep you bound by your past. You're forgiven. If you've repented, if you've asked the Lord to forgive you, you're forgiven. It's gone. It's gone. It's done. This is what God says. Isaiah 43:25. God says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins. Now, can God remember? Yeah, he's God. If he wanted to, it's not that he has a bad memory, but he says, I will not. I will not. I choose not to remember your sin. I choose not to look back. I blotted that out. I've blotted out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. So you know what you and I have to do? We have to do the same. We have to will not. We have to will not to remember as well our own sins. Remember Lot's wife. If you look back, your progress will be stopped. That's what the devil's trying to do. The devil wants you to look back so that you don't enter into your promised land. So that you don't enter into the fullness of the blessings of what Jesus died and rose again and purchased for you to live in and to walk in. That's your promised land. God wants you to enter it fully. Amen? And the devil wants to keep you and us, from embracing and fulfilling the wonderful divine purpose that God has for us. You might not write half the New Testament, and you might not travel to all the known world like Paul did, but you've got a divine purpose to fulfill, and people are counting on you, and God is counting on you, and the kingdom of God is counting on you to fulfill it. But if you look back with shame and guilt and regret, you'll never reach forward and lay hold of that and fulfill that. We need you. The kingdom of God needs you. There are people that yet need to know about Jesus that need you to step up and look forward and fulfill your divine purpose. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So remember Lot's wife, and remember, as we started the service this morning with communion, remember what Jesus has done. Remember what he's done. Remember his blood. Oh, his blood is so much greater. You know, if we get stuck looking back at our past failures and sins and shortcomings, you know what we're saying? We're saying that's more powerful than the blood of Jesus. But how many believe the blood's more powerful? God says, I will blot out your transgressions for my own sake. And he used the most powerful agent in the universe to blot it out. That's the blood of Jesus. It doesn't just cover it over. It's better than Mr. Clean's magic eraser. It blots it out completely. Amen. It blots it out, our sins, our shortcomings, our failures. The blood blocks it out completely. Let go of that. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back at that. Don't look back at that. Look forward. Look forward in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer for just a moment. Father, I thank you and praise you for your people and for their eagerness and hunger to receive the word today, Father. I'm so grateful to be able to teach and proclaim your word to such a wonderful group of people as this today. And Father, I pray if there are those in our midst this morning, either in our auditorium here or joining us online through YouTube, I pray, Father, if there are those that don't know you as Lord and Savior in that situation, Father, I pray that right now that they would say yes to you, that right now they would know that you're beckoning them to come to you, that you're beckoning them, that you're inviting them, that you're appealing to them to say yes to you, to let go of their past and to embrace a new life in you. While we're in an attitude of prayer with heads bowed, eyes closed, you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I've never made Jesus my Lord, but today I want to let go of my old life and I want to embrace a new life in you. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord, but today I want to embrace a new life in you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray and lead those that are joining us on YouTube in a prayer, but I want us to stay in an attitude of prayer, if you would, because there's some more things that God wants to do in here in this auditorium today. But if you're joining us on YouTube and you need to do that, you've never made Jesus your Lord, but today's your day, you're responding to God's invitation, I want to lead you in a prayer. Just put your hand over your heart right there where you're watching us on YouTube. And those in the auditorium here are doing the same. They're going to pray this prayer as well in support of you. So you pray it right now, and Jesus will honor your prayer and honor the desire of your heart, and He'll come in and make you new on the inside and give you a fresh start and a brand new life. Praise God. Pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I do believe today that Jesus died for my sins. He shed His blood so my sins could be washed away. My failures, my shortcomings. I thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. And you were raised from the dead to guarantee that I could have eternal life if I would call upon you. So today, I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And so according to the Word of God, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and being my Lord. Amen. Now again, if you prayed that with us on YouTube, please contact us here at City on a Hill. Go to cityonahillchurch.us. That's our website. And you can contact us that way. We'd love to hear from you and know that you've prayed to receive Jesus. Praise God. Now, right here, those of us in the auditorium, maybe you're here and you've been saved, but you've let the devil get you looking backwards. Stay in an attitude of prayer, if you would, for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed, just for another few moments here. You have allowed the devil to get you to look backwards in regret, in shame, in guilt, or maybe in looking backwards thinking, oh, well, it's just too hard to walk with Jesus. Maybe I should just stop trying to do that. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Would you just raise your hand? Pastor, pray for me. The devil has tried to tempt me to look back, to go back, but I'm not looking back anymore. I'm going forward today. I'm going forward. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Several of you. Praise God. I'm not going to call you to the front, but it's important that you acknowledge, yes, I want to be in on that prayer. I'm making a declaration. I'm making a stand today. Hallelujah. That I'm going forward. I'm not looking back. Hallelujah. So pray this. Let's just have everybody pray it as well. Just pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great promises, for your great love for me. I thank you, Father, that you blot out my transgressions for your own sake, and you will not remember my sins. And because you will not, I choose to will not. I will not look back at my past sins, my past failures. I will not look back with shame, with regret, but I look forward and I embrace the good plan that you have for my life. I will not look back at my own personal comfort and security and put that first, but I seek first your kingdom. And all the things I need, they'll be added to me. So I embrace your plan fully in the name of Jesus. I'm not looking back, but I'm looking forward. I'm pressing forward for your purpose and your plan for my life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.